You're at work radio every day, 9 to 12, only on KC 107.7.
Lekker son my by KC at work. Ek dog hulle sou Gary Wright really wanna know you. Maar nou eers wil ek weer sê welkom terug, Dr. Marihan Cronje.
Hi Michelle, dit is so lekker om weer terug te wees. En ek vertrou al ons luisteraars het 'n heerlike vakansie gehad.
En jy ook, is jy dan lekker uitgerus?
Dankie, ek het ook gerus.
Reg vir 2025.
Heeltemal reg.
Ek jy, ons het jou baie gemis, en ek is seker, elkeen al buiten, ek het so mooi boodskapies ingekry oor December, van hoe allemaal na jou luister, en dit wat jy elke dag, elke week bring, wat hulle, dit is iets wat hulle wil hoor, en wat hulle, daai vraag wat hulle vir jouself vra oor die huis wat jy hier kan antwoord. So die mense luister al buite, hulle het gewag vir Dr. Marihan Cronje. So dankie.
Baie dankie.
Ek gaan sommer eers begin. Dr. Marihan Cronje, she's a caregivers counselor who specializes in educating other informal caregivers on how to stay emotionally and spiritually well before, during and after caregiving by embracing their experiences. So my first question today is, can you quickly refresh our listeners about our last session before we took a short break?
Yes, Michelle, you remember we talked about why caregiving can even change relationships and the arrangements on caregiving over the holidays. So I hope that helped some of the listeners. And remember we talked about the importance of family meetings and good communication in caregiving.
And the second question I want to ask you today is, we've covered 4 of the 6 stages of caregiving last year. So can you tell us what else are involved in caring for a family member?
So yes, as our time is limited, I can only touch on these stages as we did with the previous 4. But number 5 in the stages of caregiving is the transitioning caregiving and caregiver. So as a transitioning caregiver, as the word says, you have been providing care for some time and are now noticing significant changes or recognize that the end may be approaching. So over time, with the most chronic illnesses, as we know, there are changes in a person's abilities and the caregiver must also adjust to the needs of the care receiver. So in the process of caregiving, the caregiver also experience losses, a loss of control. We lose financial security, freedom, sleep, and family harmony. It's all things that we have to offer. But so does the caree. He or she may experience loss of dignity, mobility, a future of retirement that they may have looked towards, just to name a few. So this is the time as a family caregiver now in this transitioning time that you may face a decision about ending treatments or pursuing cures. But this can also mean moving your parent or your parents or your caree to another facility where they can receive a more personal care or maybe frail care as we know it.
So how should a caregiver handle the loss associated with moving at this stage?
Yes, moving can be tough on older adults. I've just experienced it myself. It's very traumatic for them. Leaving a home filled with memories is emotional, and downsizing lifelong positions is very challenging. They don't know what to take. They don't know what to leave. Just to give it away. Be kind and sensitive and focus on your parents. This is not the time to be harsh and just throw out. I know we want to do that because we can't see the reason why they keep some stuff. But for them, that is important. And have respect for that. That is one thing that I've learned. Don't just take it and throw it away. That means a lot to them. For interesting sake, we just moved my mum, and we have to let her pet. We took to the vet to so that she can sleep forever. Oh. Yes. So, and then when we packed my mom's stuff, there was a little blanket that the cat always sleep on. And that is the thing that my mom wants to keep.
Oh.
And we really just want to get rid of it.
Yeah, but for her.
But for her, that was something
to hold on to.
Yes. So it takes time to adjust, but they will likely enjoy their new home after the transition. And a few tips here is you have to get consent. No one can be admitted to a facility without their consent, unless a court order was issued. And you have to communicate your reasons for moving them. Clearly explain why the move is necessary. Be patient and emphatic. Create a positive environment and invite your parent to participate in the planning process. It's not just something you can do.
Mm.
They are the people you move.
Yeah.
So consider their concerns. Listen to their reason for resistance, which may be legitimate. Get help from professionals if they persist too much. Consider consulting an elder care lawyer if you have to. And find a facility. That is the most important thing today. There are so many facilities.
Mm.
And when you come to that point, you don't know where to.
Yes.
But do your homework. That is very, very important.
Yeah.
Go and visit. Go and talk to people. There are sometimes, not always all things are black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are politics. And you have to know about that before you move your parent. So consider the level of care your parent needs and look for the facility that is a good fit. And visit the facilities together with your parent or your parents, if possible. Take them to take a tour through the facilities and let them see how the people thrive. That will bring some positive thing to this move.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it now. If they're still able to make a decision themselves to choose, they must make that decision where to stay, because they're the ones that are going to stay there and, as you say, mingle with the friends that they're going to make there.
Exactly.
Most of the time the children want to decide for the parents, but at the end of the day it's going to make them so unhappy, because most of the time you don't have the time to go and visit your parents.
Yes.
You also have a busy life, and as you say, they must be happy, so let them choose where they want to be at the end of the
and
day.
And that's very difficult, because when you visit a new place, if you even want to buy a house, you get the feel, but once you moved in, then you realize, and then you see all the cracks, and then you see. So it's the same with moving your parents.
Yeah.
But it is true.
Then stage 6, which is death, is there a correct way to handle the final stage?
Yes, it is not a good topic.
No.
And you have such a nice topic and theme for today, like a lach woensdag.
But we must, this is stuff every day. You must deal with it.
Yes, so when caregiving begins, you can feel like it is the worst experience that could happen to you.
Mm.
And when your carer received a diagnosis, it makes the mortality a reality, because you have a name for it and a time frame. Let's take cancer, for example. Then the experience gets worse. You struggle to find the right doctor, the best care, or anyone else to help. You fight with health professionals, family members, and sometimes even your carer. We've went through all those stages. And then in one moment, everything is over.
Mm-hmm.
You knew your carer was dying and would die. That's a true fact. But because you did not know when death would happen, sometimes it is difficult to prepare, because you are so in that stage just to survive, or survival mode, that you don't even get there to prepare. So you remember the health file I had here once? There's a section about end-of-life arrangements, and the wisest thing that you can do is to plan these details with your carer while they can. still make rational decisions. Create a checklist of all the necessary details to help you when things become overwhelming and confusing. You know, I've heard it sometimes, or not sometimes, many times, that the person was able to actually arrange his whole funeral himself or herself. They know exactly what they want. And that's a good place to be. So as the family caregiver, you will need to locate the original will of the deceased, among other many administrative tasks. But very important thing that I can mention today, remember to always obtain several certified copies of the death certificate. That is very, very important. So with death also comes grief.
Mm-hmm.
And grief affects your whole being, physically, socially, emotionally, and spiritually. Each of us will have different symptoms of grief, but if you had previous losses, you may experience grief this time, maybe in a similar or different way, depending on the situation. Your relationship with the deceased and other significant emotional factors in your life at the time. I think it's different when you can see a person dying, or all the stages.
Yeah.
You go through all the stages and you now see now it is the end.
Mm.
And there's a difference between that and someone dying in an accident.
Mm. Yeah.
So let's keep it in context today. We talk here about the elder parents or parent and the carer that you care for. So culture, religion, and social norms influence what we are comfortable showing to others and even what we are comfortable admitting to ourselves. But some symptoms may include crying, low energy, exhaustion, headaches, eating too much or less, or not eating at all, sleep disturbance. That's a normal symptom of grief. Too much or too little. Feelings of heaviness, aches, pains, feeling detached from others. And there are many, many more. You know, you for a long time, it might be years that you was in this stages and going through all the stages, and now suddenly it's gone.
Yeah.
And your body starts to feel it, and those things manifest in our bodies.
The last question, I usually feel uncomfortable when approaching someone who's grieving. So is there an easier way to deal with it?
Yes, it's always uncomfortable to sympathize. But you have to remember that you have to be the stronger one, but always do it with empathy and sincerity. Be open to anything the person might feel to share with you, but never judge the person on anything they say in this situation. And this is very, very important. Sometimes people walk away and say, oh, but did you see how they react, or they are totally overwhelmed and so emotional. So just be available and offer support in an unobstructive manner. And listen without giving advice. This is not now your time to share advice. And do not offer stories of your own experiences with grief. To heal that person and that individual must endure the pain themselves, and you have to allow them to feel the pain. Be there later when friends and family have all gone back to their normal routines. So that brings me to the last item on my list, and that is the stages of grief. Did you know that there are stages, and there's no roadmap for those stages? We all grieve. But we all may visit it, as I call it that, the stages at different times during the grieving process. So depending on what is happening in our lives, for instance, say an anniversary or a birthday, we might go back to a stage or experience a stage, but we can also go back to a stage years later, and that can come in a form of depression or isolation. But there may be many, many more, but here are five normal stages. First is shock or denial. As I say, let's keep it in context. Sometimes you will sit actually alongside the bed, helping the person maybe going through the process of death, but it can come suddenly. Trouble accepting the fact of death or a numbness, the inability to do normal things or the normal way of life, anger. There can be anger at yourself, or you can feel you didn't do enough. Anger towards others, other professionals, even God, or life, or even the person that is dead. You're seeking for reasons. Why now? Why you? Why not someone else? Why me? So feeling helpless and powerless and abandoned. And then there are many, many more, but that is the most important. And then after a while, it may come sooner, it may come later, it take years. Then come the accepting, and then the adjusting to the new reality and start to move on. And then the sense of hope and healing and a new integration. But the most important is after this, that the caregiver must take good care of themselves, even after caregiving. Acknowledge your feelings, if either good or bad. Read, journaling is a very, very good resource. And get support, counseling, and even medication if you must, then to help you going through the process.
Ons sê baie, baie dankie vir Dr. Marianne Cronje. Altijd so, ja, dit help altijd so baie. Dit is vraag wat die mens wil vraag, maar jy weet nie altijd wat die antwoorde is nie. So baie, baie dankie dat jy altijd na ons toe kom en vir ons die antwoorde geef vir die moeilike vraag wat die mens nie altijd wil. En die, soos jy sê, mens weet nie altijd om te deel met iemand wat deur grief gaan en iemand aan die dood afgestaan het nie. So baie, baie dankie weer eens vir jou tyd en jou moeite dat jy ingekom het hier na ons toe en wie het ons gesels het.
Plezier.
En jy het een mooie dag he, en ons dankie. Sien jou weer.
Dankie, volgende week.
Baie tyd,
salle plek. Dankie, Michelle.
Casey at work on Casey 107.7.